You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So this morning's going to be a little different. We're kind of in between two series. We talked about worship for 5 weeks. Most of you were here for that. And then next week we're going to start a new series. It's a series on that comes from the tagline of our mission statement: learn, love, lead, and reflect. So we're right in the middle. So Pastor Gerber said, just pick something from the lectionary like you like to do and go for it. So that's what I did a couple weeks ago. And I looked at all three verses, the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel. And some of you are going, what's a lectionary? Let's look at, see what the lectionary is, so you have an idea of where we get some of the verses, the scripture readings that we read during a church year. So get out a hymnal, okay? Grab a hymnal. We're going to look at the Roman numeral numbers. That's way in the beginning, okay? And I want you to go to Roman numeral 18, numerals 18 and 19, okay? 18 and 19. If you're trying to remember your Roman numerals, that's an X, a V, and three little I's. Okay? That's 18, and then 19 is the XIX. So on top it says the 3-year lectionary series C, which means there must be an A and a B, which there are. But if you turn the page, you will see something called the 1-year lectionary. The 1-year lectionary was developed around the 5th century by a bunch of theologians. Old Testament, Epistle, Gospel. They always picked the Gospel first, then they would make sure the Old Testament lined up. And sometimes the epistle works with the message, with the theme, sometimes it doesn't. But here at Trinity, we use the 3-year lectionary, A, B, C. So go back to C, page 18 and 19, and go to proper 17. Proper 17. And it says August 28th to September 3rd. Old Testament, a New Testament / second reading, or the Gospel. And that's where our readings come from, if you ever wondered. Unless we're doing a series, like we did the last 5 weeks, in which we will start again next week. So Pastor Gerber said, just pick something from the lectionary. You like doing that anyway. Okay. And I did. And nothing clicked. I'll give it a couple days. Still nothing clicked. Well, then something happened. I got a phone message from a 90-year-old friend. And she was crying. Now, that doesn't happen every day, does it? Every day, does it? A voicemail from a 90-year-old friend who was crying. And she said, Pastor, this is... I'm in the hospital. I fell and broke my hip. When you're 90, you don't fall and break your hip. It's really, really hard to come back from. So she had surgery. I went to see her the day after surgery. And when I came in, tears were coming down her face. because she had lost some hope, hadn't she? She had lost some hope in the brokenness that we live in. Because unless Jesus comes back first, we will breathe our last here. And then what? How do you give someone hope who knows what's going on when you're 90 and you fall and break your hip? Unless you're Lois. You're still hanging in there, Lois. But you will breathe your last too, won't you? Yeah. What can I say to give her hope? Nothing. There's nothing that I can say to give her real hope. But Jesus can. And Jesus did. And I thought of a couple Bible verses that might give my friend hope. One of them is Lamentations, which we haven't read yet. We already read Peter talking about living hope, but we're going to look at Lamentations first. So this is going to be a little bit like a Wednesday chapel service at care centers, where I don't have notes, I don't have a sermon written out, we just have God's Word. And God's Word speaks to God's people. Lamentations spoke to my friend, and Lamentations will speak to anyone who is suffering. And we're all suffering because of sin. So set this up. Does anyone know who wrote Lamentations? That's pretty important. Begins with J. Jeremiah. The weeping or the crying prophet is what he is referred to, is because he was just this shepherd boy. And the Lord comes to him and talks to Jeremiah and says, you're going to be a prophet. I'm a shepherd. I'm a lowly shepherd, but you're going to be a prophet. And he was a prophet for about 55 or 60 years. And he kept giving the same message and the same message to God's people in Judah. The southern kingdom, the northern kingdom had already been taken to Assyria. And here's Judah at the bottom where Jerusalem is. And he kept warning them for over 50 years. If you don't come back to faith, it's going to get ugly. He even told them how what's going to happen. There's going to be a country up there from Babylon. They're going to come and take you. And their king is Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he is telling them everything. Unless you repent and come back. Come back and be faithful to the Lord. And they didn't. And they weren't. And Jeremiah is witnessing Jerusalem being destroyed. This is where this Lamentations comes from his heart. Jeremiah says, remember my affliction and my wanderings and wormwood and the gall. He knows that he is sinful too. The bitterness of this broken world, my soul continually remembers it is bowed down within me. I can't get away from my sin. But this I call to mind. What does he call it in mind? What did he think about in this moment? Because if we read verses 1 through 18, it is all about how horrible it is for Jeremiah and these people. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He remembered. His mercies never come to an end. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, his mercies are new. Mercy, a little different than grace. Mercy, not getting what we deserve because of our sin. But every morning they're new. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Hope again. I will hope in him. Who's him? Who's him? Jesus. But I thought this was the Old Testament. You mean Jesus is in the Old Testament? You better believe he is. The Lord is Jesus. And the Lord is my portion. My portion. Interesting word, isn't it? The Lord is my portion. Anyone grow up on a farm with brothers here? Anyone grow up on a farm with brothers? There's a few of you. Okay? Well, let's say you had a 1,000-acre farm, and you inherit a portion of the farm, right? But many times, especially in the 6 and 8 o'clock, I'm looking at people who didn't get a portion, because who got the portion? The oldest brother, right? The oldest brother got the portion. And everybody else has to go find their own thing. This happened to so many people in Fremont, so many people I talked to, older people. Both of my parents grew up on a 160-acre farm. That's not a very big portion. My dad had 4 brothers. Only one brother got the portion. And that's just the way it went. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. It's what you're going to receive, an inheritance. And Peter's going to talk about that inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him, the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like a sermon, doesn't it? Well, it kind of is, except it's a letter. It's a letter to help all of these new Christian churches that Peter and Paul are forming, all of these new churches, and he wants to make sure that they understand where their hope comes from. According to his great mercy, there's that word again, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Living hope. Your hope is alive, and his name is Jesus. He's alive. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what do we get because Jesus rose from the dead? Well, here's that inheritance. This is the portion part. An inheritance that is 3 amazing words, and they all are a little different. Imperishable. Sometimes we have to put things in a freezer, but they still get freezer burn. I mean, it's impossible to keep something imperishable, right? It's going to rot eventually. Undefiled. Perfect. Undefiled. No sin. Nothing wrong. No sickness. No disease. And unfading. A brightness that will always be bright. And where is this inheritance kept for you? It's kept in heaven. It's kept in heaven. For you. It's kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You go to heaven to be with Jesus, and then you wait for the last promise, right? The last promise to be revealed in the last time. Let's keep going. In this you rejoice. Yes, we rejoice. It can't get any better than that. Uh-oh. However, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Raise your hand if you've been grieved by a trial. Put your hands up. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor. When? At the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he comes back to make all things new. And our last verses, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, God's presence, obtaining the outcome of your faith. Ultimately, the last promise, the salvation of your souls. What a message today. Hope. No matter how bad it gets, I see little kids, I see old people today, and a lot of people in between. And we're all going to breathe our last, aren't we? And then we're with your living hope, Jesus, waiting for that revelation day. Hope, living hope. In the name of Jesus, our living hope. Amen. Amen. Amen.